number 9978, Christina Excavation Company, south of private road, 675 feet west of road 225, a special use exception to operate a non-metallic mineral processing plant.
Is that tonight?
Gentlemen, if you would give the young lady your names and mailing addresses, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen. What I have before you this evening is an application filed by Christina Excavating Company. It's case number 9978. This matter relates to property owned by Christina in Cedar Creek 100. It is, in fact, 7.922 acres, and if my recollection serves me right, is its own tax map and parcel, which is unusual. It's located on both sides of a railroad track near Marshall Street. The property is currently zoned HI1 heavy industrial, and it contains a site which is used for office work, maintenance of motor vehicles and trucks, and as a depot. We're here this evening because this particular site is identified in the HI1 section of the county code as an area or a use where, and I'll quote, if any doubt exists as to the nature of the proposed use, product, or process, the proposal shall be considered as a potentially hazardous use and referred to the Board of Adjustment for decision after a public hearing. The zoning staff and in particular director have identified this site or this particular use as such a potentially hazardous use. What my client is asking for is the opportunity to operate a non-metallic mineral process plant using a mobile crusher and screener, and that is, we are going to translate it into English, is to crush concrete, rock, block, and brick, and to create reusable aggregate on this particular site. We have several exhibits that I wish to present to the board for its consideration. They include a letter from the Department or Division of Air and Waste Management indicating that there is a complete application now pending before the state. There is technical data for the Komatsu mobile crusher, technical data for the FinTech screener, and I have the report of Mr. Carlton, which is who is with Duffield Associates and is an environmental scientist who has studied issues relating to noise and sound at this particular site. Also with me this evening, I have two persons that I propose to use as witnesses. They include Mr. Mike Connor to my immediate left, who is one of the principals of the applicant, and to his immediate left is Nate Carlson, who is the environmental scientist that I just referred to. And with your permission, I'll begin to present the case. And we hopefully will prove to you that we are not necessarily hazardous and that we are worthy of having a site plan here. Mr. Connor, will you identify yourself, please, for the record?
Michael Connor. I'm one of the owners of Christina Excavating.
And Christina Excavating Company does what, sir?
It's a infrastructure company. We do earthwork, pipe work, and everything for a new development.
And do you do any demolition work, or do you do strictly construction?
Mostly all construction.
Okay. And are you also a proprietor of the Sussex Materials LLC?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Sussex Materials LLC is the owner of the property?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Christiana Excavating will be the occupier of the property, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Would you describe for the benefit of the Board of Adjustment what this site currently looks like and what the surrounding area looks like?
It's a rectangular site, probably measures 300 feet across, about 800-900 feet to the back, from front to back. It has three houses immediately to the left, one across the street, and one to the southwest.
And is there a railroad track nearby?
Yes, there's a adjacent to property.
And is this property located on a public road?
No, it's located on Swain's private road.
And as far as structures are concerned, what's located on this site?
There's an office, a foreman's office, and a mechanic shop, and a scale house.
And if you will, please, will you describe for the benefit of the board how you currently use this site?
Well, as I said, I have my office there. I have a mechanic, full-time mechanic, that works in the shop. Half a dozen foremen, okay, that all work in the excavating end of the business. And it's currently being used as a depot. As I'm sure you all know, down here we're on a peninsula, so any stone or aggregate that has to be brought in from Maryland or Pennsylvania, because that's where the quarries are. So we use the property to bring the stone that far and then distribute it to our jobs down here.
What do you propose to use the site for that has brought us here this evening?
As far as the crushing operation, we generate a lot of excess concrete through construction, and what I'm attempting to do is instead of bury the concrete on a construction site, bring it back to the yard. I can run it through the crusher and the screening machine, and I can make aggregate for roadway.
And then the concrete that you would bring to the site is concrete that is left over from your construction activities?
Yes.
Is it concrete from demolition activities?
No.
The concrete that would be used, that is intended to be used as an aggregate, would be reused by Christiana Excavating Company, is that correct?
Solely.
Tell me how this works. You bring the concrete in from one of your job sites. How does the crusher and the screener work?
We'll generate maybe 400 or 500 tons of material every 6 months. We bring it in. It's sometimes it's brought in pieces as big as this desk that's in front of me. We process it into littler pieces with a hydraulic excavator. It has a hydraulic jaw on the front of it and can crush it down into small pieces, which then you can feed it into the concrete crusher. The reason you do that is you avoid jamming. Okay, once it's going into the concrete crusher, it's crushed into smaller pieces, which then go into the screening machine, and you get basically three products from there, a 2-inch product, about a 4-inch product, and then you get your crusher run.
When you talk about crusher run, we're talking about a byproduct of this operation that is, what, less than 5 inches?
Yes.
About the size of a potato, how's that?
About the size of a peanut.
Size of a peanut, all right. And you will be able to take all of that and resell it and use it in your own operation?
All of it.
Okay. The entrance that's on the property that you have currently now, would there be any requirement that that entrance be changed in any way as a result of this operation?
No.
There are two pieces of equipment to be used on the site. One is the crusher, one is the screener. Are both of these pieces of equipment mobile?
Yes.
Will they ever be fixed in one place, or will they move around the site?
If approved, it'll basically be fixed in one place.
If you wanted to remove these from site, are they capable of being driven off site, or do they have to go off on a tractor trailer?
Tractor trailer.
These two pieces of equipment, do they require, or does this particular operation require that they have a state permitting take place?
Yes.
And which of them, or do both of them, require state permitting?
No, just the one, just the crusher.
Okay. And are you currently in that process?
Yes, I am.
And where are you in that process right now?
All the paperwork's done except for what needs to happen here.
And that has been recognized or acknowledged in one of the letters that we've submitted to as an exhibit this evening, correct?
Yes, sir.
I want to go back to the crusher for just a minute. Obviously, if you think about a crusher and you're breaking up concrete, you got to think about noise, the dust, whatever. So tell me how that particular equipment works and what is it that is in that equipment or makes that equipment efficient so there isn't noise or dust associated with your operation?
Well, the biggest concern would be dust. Okay, so what we've done is we bought a 2,000-gallon tanker truck. We keep water on site. The crusher is also equipped with a spray system on it for water, okay, so that when we wet the pile down, okay, which pretty much eliminates the most of the dust, okay, and then the spray system that's on the machine itself, okay, as it going into the hopper where you could create more dust, it's being saturated again. So by the time it gets through the crusher, the material is pretty well wet. It even comes, by the time it gets through the screener, it's got a slurry coming out of it. So we try to keep the dust down. I fired the machine up once when I bought it, okay, just to situate it there, and then I fired it up for about 2.5 hours when I first bought it, and about 2 hours to do some testing. So that's the only time I fired a machine up. So that 4.5 hour of observation, that's when I determined we were going to need the water truck, okay, and hook up the spray system on the machine.
Is there a spray system within the crusher itself?
Yes.
And that will continually miss the product as it goes into the crusher, correct?
Yes.
And did I understand you also to say that you spray the storage pile also before it is even given to the crusher to chew?
Yes.
Right? Now, how about in the screener? Is there any spray system there?
No.
Is one required?
No, not really.
How close will this operation be to any adjacent residential properties?
The nearest house is probably, from where the machine would sit, would be somewhere between 600 and 800 feet.
The proposal that you have for the use of this site, is it going to be taking up all of the 8 acres that you almost, it's almost 8 acres that you have there, 7.9 acres, or will it only make up a small fraction of the use of the 7.9 acres?
Now, the front half of the property where my buildings are is just under 4 acres. Okay, so the remainder of it would be used for the crushing and the stockpiling.
The operation that you plan for this particular site, what would be the days that you would propose to have this operation in business?
Monday through Friday.
And hours of operation on a daily basis?
7 to 5.
Now, it's my understanding that some of the neighbors have approached you and indicated that there are conditions that they would like to see imposed on this particular application. Is that correct also?
Yes, I was talking to a couple of them outside.
And I'm going to review that list of conditions with you, and you tell me if you agree or would have no opposition to these particular conditions. The first is that the operation time be from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., and you've already stated you would accept that, correct?
Yes.
Operation on state or federal holidays.
I agree to that, too.
And you've already told me that you would not operate on any weekends, correct?
Right.
They have asked for immediate repair of Swain's private road as a result of truck traffic on it. And you have a problem with that?
No, actually, on that particular note, Swain's private road is, I had a plan drawn up. I have to because it's a Del Dot road. Okay, the plan I got back Thursday or Friday, and I should have this road repaired within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
And they've also asked that you maintain the repairs on the road throughout the year.
Yeah, and that's not a problem.
And I assume you know where you can get the byproduct for that, right?
Yeah, right in my yard.
I have no further questions of Mr. Connor, and I'll let him stand down unless you all want to ask him questions now.
Were those all the conditions that your opposition had?
Those are the ones that we're aware of, Mr. Hudson. They may have additional ones later on if we don't know that the representative speaks for all opponents, but these are the ones that we know of.
Those were the ones that made available.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a couple questions.
Okay.
Board members are done.
I got.
We'll get you.
I'm
going to also put on Mr. Carlson, and we may.
If I don't ask him now, I'll forget about it.
Okay. The runoff water. How much runoff from the water to waste? How much will you have on that? Are you going to circulate it back?
No, it's not a lot. And I'm going to say in the course of a day, and like I said, I haven't run the machine, so I really don't know, but I'm going to estimate somewhere between 500 and 700 gallons a day.
Does it circulate? Take it back through and circulate and filter it and go back through again? Using the water over again, what I'm saying?
No, it goes into the ground. It goes into the ground, but it's all stone. It's on crushed stone.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'm reading in your letter, is in reference to sound. In your conclusion, it suggests that, I guess the letter was to you, that the closest residential dwelling maximum sound level increase would be about 7.1 dB gain. Is that correct?
Mr. Mills, that is correct, and that's what the letter states. Mr. Carlson prepared that report and will testify to that in just a minute if you want to hear a better explanation as to how he reached that conclusion.
Thank you.
Mr. Connor, you said that there were two pieces of equipment, and you said one of them was a crusher. What's the other piece?
That's the screener.
Okay. And am I correct that you said that you have everything from the state for approval except for the county's approval?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The water tanker on site is of what capacity?
2,000 gallon.
And if the board were to approve the application and made that a condition of approval, you wouldn't have any objection to that, would you?
No, sir.
Your property is designated as heavy industrial. Is that the only industrial property in the area, or are there other properties which surround you that are also industrial, if you know?
I really don't know, but the property on the other side of the railroad tracks is also owned by me, and that's about another 9 more acres of heavy industrial.
And what's that property used for?
Nothing right now.
And I think this is probably the last one. You said that the aggregate that you would create on this property would not be for sale. It would be used strictly by Christiana. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
One quick one in conjunction with Mr. Burrow. Replenishing the 2,000-gallon water tank, do you have a well on site? Or?
I buy my water from the town of Milford.
Okay.
Yes. Town Milford.
Mr. Hudson, you took one of my questions. I had another one, though, and you alluded to the fact when you were responding to Mr. Workman that your equipment sits on stone and that the water runoff would go into the stone. And the question I wanted to ask is, how thick is the stone upon which the equipment sits?
Approximately about 10 inches.
Thank you.
Okay. Appreciate that.
Sorry. I had to get one back after he took the other one. If there are no other questions of Mr. Connor, I'll put Mr. Carlson on.
Okay. He's next.
Step up, Nate. Who you are.
All right, my name's Nathaniel K. Carlson. I work for Duffy Associates as an environmental scientist.
And did you go to college, sir?
I tried. Yes, I got my bachelor's at Millersville University for environmental biology.
Go ahead.
And I got my master's in environmental engineering at the University of Delaware.
And you're currently employed by Duffield Associates?
Yes.
And in the course of being employed at Duffield Associates, do you practice your skills? That is, are you an environmental scientist? Mm.
Yes.
Were you called upon by Christiana to come out and investigate the operation of this crushing operation at this particular site?
Yes.
If you will, please tell the board what you did to study the crushing operation and what you were looking for.
Well, what we did was, I went on site before the crushing operation was began, and I took 17 data points for sound and dust levels at various locations throughout the property and at five locations at the property lines.
Now, I want to stop you at that one moment. And I'm
okay.
In your letter, is that there is a map attached that shows various sites that are identified as L1, L2, L3. Are those the locations of which you took the samples?
Yes.
And at those locations, you took both noise and dust samples?
Yes.
Okay. No, I interrupted you. Do you remember where you were?
Yes. So to get background levels, I took sound and dust levels during regular operation of the facility prior to the crusher being on. And if you want to look at Table 1 has the levels of when the crusher was on and when the crusher was off.
When you go to take these tests, I assume that there is a certain amount of background noise that's associated with this particular site. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do you test for that?
Yes, for background, it's the regular operations. So any sound that comes through from driving around the facility or any operations, it would get picked up.
And you're also next to a railroad track. Was there any consideration taken into the fact that trains may make noise?
Yes, I took one sample, actually a sound sample, from a railroad track, a train going by.
And I'll ask you about what the result of that was a little later on.
Okay.
And also there are typical household sounds, chainsaws, lawnmowers, what have you. Did you have any experience with that while you were testing at this site?
Yeah, there were some activity. There was one of the residents was mowing their lawns. I actually waited for them to be completed so I can actually get a proper background check while other activities weren't happening.
When you get this baseline of sound established, then you begin to test with the operation of the actual equipment. Is that correct?
Yes.
And for what period of time was this testing taking place?
For about 2 hours.
And you moved from each of the sites 1 through 17 throughout this entire period. Is that correct?
Yes.
And did you try to establish your points of testing close to or as near as possible residential homes that would be immediately affected by this?
Yes. Yeah.
When you got to each site, tell me what you tested for.
Noise levels, actually sound levels, and dust levels.
And you made 17 tests at each of these locations, is that correct?
Yes.
And the raw data results in Table 1, which is attached to your letter, is that correct?
Yes.
Were you able to reach any conclusions about what the effects of this particular equipment were on adjacent properties or in the neighborhood in general, as to both noise and sound on one side and dust on the other?
Yes, for sound, it did not appear that it significantly increased from background levels. It the background levels averaged between around mid-50s to low-60s decibels. With the crusher on, it ranged between the low-60s to approximately mid-60s. There was one level that was 68.4. That was the highest decibel reading.
Mr. Mills has pointed out that your letter says that there was an increase of only 7.1 decibels. Can you translate that into English for us, please? What is something that you know of that is the equivalent of going from one sound to another, that's about 7.1 decibels.
Well, 7.1, there are guidelines through the EPA that say it's a noticeable sound. Obviously, it's probably the sound of me coming a little bit closer to the microphone. It's the difference of a car being from 50 feet away to about 75 feet away, approximately.
Using the car as an example, how does the noise from this crusher operation compare to the sound of a car?
Actually, it's the same sound of a car being 50 feet away. The average sound of a car 50 feet away is about 65 decibels.
And that is what you determined was the average sound that would emanate from this operation at the property line?
Yeah, the average sound actually at the property lines was 63.6 decibels.
Slightly less than a car.
Well, depending. I mean, there's a variance. So I would say probably between 60 and 70 decibels is a car about 50 feet away.
And a lot less than a motorcycle.
Yeah.
What about the dust levels? What did you test for at each of the 17 sites for dust, and how do you do it?
I used a Dataram dust meter. It tests for coarse particles, particulate matter. Coarse particles are defined as materials that are produced by grinding or crushing. There's particulate matter that are fine particles, which is 2.5 micrograms or smaller, and then coarse particles are 2.5 to 10 micrograms.
Can you, again, translate into English, what is a microgram by way of some?
A microgram is approximately the weight of a pencil tip. If you would... a sharpened pencil, probably even less than that. It's a gram. Obviously, you probably have a penny. It'd be similar to a gram. Microgram is about 100,000th of a gram. So it's a very small value.
And you're looking for it in the form of a dust or some particulate?
Yeah.
And what was the result of your testing at this site for particulate matter or dust, as we would call it?
For particulate matter, we had non-detects. Actually, all the locations had non-detects for while the crusher was off, except one location. One location had a maximum value of 0.04 micrograms per cubic meter, and that was probably due to me walking around. From regularly walking, it can create some dust. The values when the crusher was on, at one location, it went from non-detect to 0.044 micrograms per cubic meter. That is a very significantly low number, considering that most activities like walking around could create the same amount.
Your observations, at least as dust are concerned, would be affected by wind, is that correct?
Yes.
Was there a strong wind on the date in which you made these observations?
No.
Was there any indication in the absence of wind that there would be particulate matter leaving the site?
With the absence of wind?
Yeah. No wind, would it leave the site?
Yeah, probably, potentially. With the absence of wind? Probably not 10 feet, 30 feet from the crusher, potentially.
And the misting and use of water on site is helpful or not helpful in terms of controlling the dust?
Very helpful.
And was the water system being used at the time that this was taking place?
Yes.
I want to go back to noise for just a second because we left a couple things out that are kind of fun about this. What was the noise level of the train?
92 decibels.
And that was significant, almost 50% greater than the sound from the operation of this?
Yeah, about 30%.
Yeah. And the 63 decibel level was, I believe, 7 points higher than what you determined was the baseline noise for this?
Yeah, at the property lines nearest the residential properties.
I have no further questions, Mr. Carlson.
Okay.
I'll make him available.
Okay, are there any questions from members of the board for this gentleman?
Yes, sir. What's the sound noise next to the machine?
Next to the machine, ranged from about 100 to 107, I think I got the highest value. Yeah, 104, 103, 107 for the max. The averages range between the upper 80s to the lower 90s.
And then to the line is sitting around 60? To where you tested it at?
To the property line?
Yeah.
The property line is about range between 350 feet to 600 feet.
Okay. Any further questions? Mr. Mills?
In reference to sound, at our last hearing, that issue came up, and I went online and was quoted as doing so. Comparatively, a power mower at 3 feet, according to the source online, would suggest a power mower at 3 feet decibel rating would be 107 decibels. Would you concur?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And it suggests that normal conversation at 3 to 5 feet would be 60 to 70 decibels?
That's about right.
Thank you.
And Mr. Schrader's motorcycle would be 100.
And 10.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, obviously sound.
It's on its side or not.
Obviously, sound makes a difference of
distance
mm-hmm. and weather conditions.
So, and it also suggests a whisper quiet library is 30 decibels?
Yes.
And you're suggesting that the increase was only 7.1?
Yes.
Thank you.
Is there one for Mr. Burrell's golf swing?
They don't, yeah, OSHA probably has limits.
Gentlemen, thank you for letting us take a little longer than perhaps we should have, but I think it's important to note that my client has undertaken what are, in my opinion, the appropriate activities to ensure that the site is capable of sustaining the operation that they would like to see there. Secondly, to make sure that to the extent that the neighbors are affected by it, that the effect is minimal, and as you've seen by my client's willingness to agree to certain conditions, he wants to be a good neighbor and is willing to meet the requests of the neighbors who live in the area. With the use of this particular new equipment, the misting and the noise or sound control, as Nate likes to call it, I think that they can be good neighbors at this site, and we thank you for your consideration, and we'll be available to respond to anything that comes up from other people who speak.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application?
I'm not in opposition, but I'd like to get up here and read what the community, they asked me to read. I'm their community representative.
Coming up front here and be sworn in, sir, if you would, please.
Prepare your name and mailing address, please.
Thomas Jester.
Is the testimony you're about to give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Turns to anybody. The community asked me to represent them because a lot of them couldn't be here. They asked me to read this to the board here. We, the community, wish to say if Christiana Construction wants to obtain a permit for a portable mobile concrete crusher use permit at the Lincoln site on Swain's private road, we would like for the following restrictions to be implemented in a written agreement and with the understanding if at any time this agreement is violated, the permit be revoked immediately by the county. These are the following restrictions we as the community wish to have implemented and put in a written agreement. crushing operation time, line put in effect from 0700 to 1700, which is 5 o'clock. Number two, no crushing operations on any state or federal holidays. No crushing operations on any weekends. The immediate repair of Swain's private road due to the increased truck traffic. Maintain the repairs of the road throughout the year. If these restrictions are met, we as a community will not have any objections in the use of the concrete crushing being used, as we are neighbors and we have to have checks and balances in place to assure everyone's well-being is considered. We have an autistic child that lives within 1,000 feet from the facility. We also have several seniors that live within 1,000 feet of this facility. So as neighbors, we have to be considerate of their well-being. I also have signatures from the following community people. I want to put this on file, give it to somebody.
Right down there, if you would, please.
I just want to put out there, Mike and I, we talked, and everything that's on here, we've actually discussed and came to the agreement of. And the only reason that we're saying we needed a written agreement is because in the past, okay, we've had some dealings with the same property with different owners. And he came and got it rezoned under false pretense. So the only right way to do it is get it in writing. Okay? Thanks a lot.
Okay. Okay.
Sir.
One thing before you leave, the one thing that we simply cannot do is put something in writing.
Mm-hmm.
The board can grant the approval with any conditions it sees fit,
okay,
including the ones you've suggested. And in the event there was some violation that was reported, the county would be able to take some action against the owner of the property. But that's, I mean, in terms of a written contract, you're talking about sort of a private thing that would have to be done outside of the scope of the board.
All right.
But there would be a written decision by the board which would incorporate those terms. And then if someone from the community thought there was some violation, that could be reported, and then the county could take action.
Okay.
Okay?
Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, hearing no other opposition. Chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I think the applicant has demonstrated that this request will not substantially affect adversely uses of adjacent neighboring properties. So I'd make a motion that we approve case number 9978 with the stipulations by the neighbors that only operate between the hours of 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. on the days of Monday through Friday, and not to operate on any legal holidays or weekends, and also that the 2,000-gallon tanker also be on site, and that it meet all state requirements, and they maintain good repair of the road.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Mills with a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve case number 9978 with the following stipulations that were presented. Does everyone understand the stipulations? Okay, hearing so. Everyone in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Your case is approved with the stipulations as you so heard.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.